When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Getting any news without partisan views is impossible these days. Yeah, but the Sunday Papers podcast gets delivered without bias.
Boom, no, that's recording, boom. All right.
And we're already recording on the video, correct?
Yes, I mean, that's
okay.
What it's
good,
said.
Good, good.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to clap in and 6, 7.
All right, we can't see it, but 3, 2, 1. That
hey
one
now.
Meant something. Oh, okay, hold on. All right.
Read all about it.
We are 45
Sunday
minutes
papers.
In.
45 minutes. Supposed to start taping at 1 o'clock. It's now 2:15.
Where are you, by the way, other than not on the video recording of the Zoom?
Not on the video recording. I was a little scattershot. I've been fucking, I swear to God, I was so on top of it. When I was promoting my special, which, by the way, if you haven't seen, go to YouTube now. It's called You Know Me. We hit over 400,000 views, but it's starting to plateau. I need everybody who hasn't seen it, go watch the special now. If you have seen it, go click play and then go do the dishes. Just put it on. I need to get my count up. We got to stay on
all
the
right.
algorithm.
I'll do that.
Anyway,
I think
so I
we
I was
need to
so
explain
on,
this.
All right, so I've been so on top of my life. When I went out, I did 23 podcasts in 4 weeks, and I was on it. I wasn't late. I had cameras set up, and then I crashed, and then it ended, and I've been so fucking disorganized. I left the house without my computer, so I got here to Kansas City with no laptop. The club manager, great dude, he hooked me up with his laptop.
Has Pornhub called you because they've noticed the difference?
Oh, my God. Let me tell you something.
Phone, iPhone, poor iPhone.
I have never, ever jerked off holding my phone in my hand before. I did it yesterday. It took me no less than 48 minutes. It was brutal.
The detail. All right, the images. Okay.
And I had to do the sign-in again. In Missouri, you gotta they make you take a picture of your face before they'll show you pornography.
That listener told us you can go to other websites that have all the same material.
I got my site. I'm not cheating on my site. We got a good thing going.
That's where porn has it right. Compared to Max and Hulu and Paramount Plus, you get all the same content on all the websites, on all the porn sites. It's such, and they're all free. How about that?
I think that your palate is limited. Mine are very specific. Czechoslovakian hidden camera, large-breasted massage porn.
Yes.
It's not everywhere. It's not everywhere.
You are right. I'm not looking for crimes. That's a big difference. That's a big difference.
It's only a crime if you get caught, my friend.
Your porn search word is lawsuit. Lawsuit. Begun. All right. So for all you listening, what we're talking about is Greg forgot his laptop. Go to the YouTube. Now I'm talking like a 90-year-old because of what I just saw you go through. So go to YouTube, find this podcast. You will see there is a still photo of Greg. There's video of me, still photo. And also we have Denman's thing because when I turn off non-video participants, both of you disappear. Because I am signed into Greg's Zoom account. There's my name, Greg Fitzsimmons, on the bottom of the screen. And so you're doing it on your iPhone, but you join the Zoom on the club owner's laptop?
Yes, and I had to get the script, which is on Google Docs, which he didn't have Google, so I had to do a bunch of stuff with that. And then I had to get my email, so I had to go through iCloud because I load stories into my emails all week.
There we go.
I had to have my wife. All of the logos and the songs for the show are on my laptop, so she had to send those to me, and then I had to drag and drop them onto this computer. This guy's going to get his computer back, and you'll see later there's a story about young girls. There's going to be stuff on his laptop he did not want on there.
Yeah, including DNA at this right after this podcast.
Why is there a pubic hair between TY and you?
Well, for me, not much has changed because you still have those dead shark eyes and not blinking, and your face is almost as animated as it is when you're live.
So you know how many times I've been asked if I froze when I've been on a Zoom call?
Right, exactly. This is perfect. This is perfect.
Do you know how hard it is for me during a conversation? I have like a timer in my head every 12 seconds to go move, look away, nod, smile.
Oh, no. It's like when you're with your lady friend, whether it's a wife or a girlfriend, and you're like, make a listening sound. Make a mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Aw. Aw. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm in Oklahoma. No, am I in Oklahoma City? I'm in Kansas City. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in Kansas City. Great crowd last night. We packed the place.
It'll be
too late for you to come by the time this airs, but this past weekend I was in Kansas City, and it's fun. It's fun.
They were supposed to be in the baseball playoffs now. Or not supposed to be, but they wanted to be.
They're very upset. Speaking of which, 2 weeks ago I talked about how I walked past a drum circle in Venice and was invited in, didn't do it, and then I got this thing in my head all day. I didn't play the bongos. I didn't say yes to life.
Sounds like a memoir. Sounds like a second memoir is coming up.
So, as I said last week, I was in Tulsa. I went to the Bob Dylan Museum. I went to the Massacre Museum. I went to a recording studio. Got back.
Lots of bongos.
To L.A., and I get a text as I'm getting on the plane at noon in or 2 o'clock in Tulsa. Do you want to go to the Dodgers Mets game tonight? And I'm like, fuck, I haven't been home in 4 days. I'm exhausted. And I said, no. And then I said, play the fucking bongos. And I texted Aaron. I go, you want to go? I go, you're going to have to pick me up at the airport. We're going to go straight to the game. Did it. Got to the game. Got a text from Pete Scott. Do you want to go see the Clippers tomorrow night? I'm like, I haven't been home in 5 days. And I said, yes, I do want to see the Clippers. Got to the game, and the great Pete Scott got us tickets. Guess what row? Fourth to the back. the worst seats in the house.
Can they even hear your bongos from up there?
Let me tell you something. The Clippers are now playing at a new stadium.
No, you told me about the high-tech thing?
You have to scan your face, much like the porn. You have to scan your face to get into the arena. Otherwise, they make you wait on a line that circles around the block. And when you go to get a hot dog, there's nobody works there. It's an empty booth. And you walk up, and it reads your face. And then you walk in, and you grab a hot dog, and you grab a soda, and you just walk out. And there's about 25 cameras, and they're watching you the whole time. And then they just charge your credit card. You've preloaded your credit card in your face. It's so fucking creepy.
So I'm teaching that class. So they're master's students, but they're young. And I told them about that high-tech Clippers, the new stadium. And they're like, remember Amazon had a couple of stores like that? You know, that's where I think the technology, at least to my knowledge, and in this country, was first used. Where, do you know about that? Amazon had like a...
I didn't know that.
Like a smaller scale supermarket, and you would just walk in and put stuff in the bag and then walk out, you know, with your cucumbers, salads, cans of soup, whatever. And But one of the students goes, right, but did you ever read the report that it wasn't all as high tech as it seemed and that there were cameras everywhere, which of course they knew. But the cameras then were, there were like a lot of Indian guys trying to identify who it was that were getting those cucumbers, like by quickly typing in stuff. Like it wasn't exactly, you know, AI doing it.
Yeah, it's really daunting. I mean, our kids are at the age now where, I think that your daughter, doesn't she have a job lined up? Or did you say her friends all have jobs lined up this spring?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. So it's really, in a way, it's a form of peer pressure. So she goes to Michigan, which is, even though what I love, she did not get into BU where we went. But Michigan is a much finer school, and 100 out of 100 people would say so. So it's such a culture of like work hard, play hard. But I was talking to Sophie and she was like a little down on herself about it. I'm like, well, you know, meanwhile, I was out of college and had no idea what I want, you know. And she's like a little down on herself about not interviewing and knowing what she's doing. And I'm like, well, Soph, what are you talking about? And she goes, no, half of the house I live in, which is like 15 girls, they already have jobs. I'm like, what? And so she went to a job fair. And then anyway, she's had really good interviews since. But it's like keeping up with the Joneses. So like there was no culture like that at BU for us. And it's a culture there. So if you're not kind of, you stand out. Now you can accept that and not be bothered by it. Or you could feel self-conscious and be like, I got to catch up a little, you know?
Well, I remember when I was in college, I went to a job unfair because none of us had decent grades. My kids, well, I'll tell you what, maybe my kids can get, your daughter a job as a waiter or a lifeguard. How about that?
Well, I don't know if we shouldn't say, but anyway, your daughter is working in a very cool, which I've never been to, and it's literally on my bucket list to go to the bar that she's going to work in.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She just got a job as a bartender, which, you know, there's booze everywhere. There's going to be weird dudes hitting on her. She's going to make so much money that she's not going to want to go get a career job because there's no way she'll be taking a giant.
No, you already said. She already said she's thinking. She already has a plan, kind of.
All right, good. Well, she should tell me these things.
Right.
But she's doing great.
It's like the year abroad, which, by the way, always works out, actually.
Yeah.
Or gap year, whatever you want to call
it. Anyway, my point being the jobs that are out there, I mean, every day I talk to another young person that sent out 300. We had some guests over to the house the other night, and one of the people identifies as they. They have an amazing resume as a writer. They went to an amazing college. They are so fucking charming. And they sent out 300 resumes and got one response. They got the job. They are now a receptionist. Like, there's nothing out there. You know, it is like...
They are receptionists. Please be sensitive.
So I'm just saying, like, it's not just like the straight white people that can't get jobs. It's AI is taking all the editing jobs. It's taking the copywriting jobs. It's taking, merchant jobs.
We talked to Pete about programmers.
Yeah.
Programmers. It's also taking hackers. I almost said hackers. It's also going to take their jobs.
Well, people go to college for 4 years to learn how to program. And then literally now you got $250,000 in loans, and there's a computer that can do a week's worth of your work in less than 2 minutes.
And you know what? That's an example of the programmers did their job too well.
Yeah,
they programmed the machine that is putting them out of work, which is an age-old story.
Yeah. What else is going on at school? How's teaching at USC?
Oh, yeah, I put that in there just as something to talk about. I'm teaching a sitcom class. So they're writing sitcoms, and I'm like, all right, well, like the stakes have to be, you always have to maintain the stakes, and what's driving your character has a want or a goal, right? So, and it's like, and then there's stakes. And so when they're doing something, it can't like go. So anyway, I forget the exact example, but someone had one. I'm like, but why would your character like do that? Because it's sort of against his interest. And then I go, you know what? Here's an example. I go, everyone's seen Pulp Fiction. Of course, they've all seen it multiple times. And I go, so Butchie, right? The boxer, that character, everything in the movie depends on, and everything goes wrong when he goes back for his watch. She left his watch in the motel, right? And so everything goes wrong. And it's like, what? Every viewer would be like, why the fuck? Just leave the watch, dude. And I imagine, I don't think this is what happened, but I imagine, because I've gotten so many notes in my life, that Tarantino had the script and everyone had the same note. Like, it doesn't make sense, man. He wouldn't go back for the watch. He's like, no, it's a really important watch. Still, his dad gave him the watch. Still, his dad was in the war and died. How about that? And he gave him his watch. No, still not enough. It's like, okay, I'll fucking show you enough. And he writes the Christopher Walken speech, like, young man, this watch was up your father's ass. Like, it's, but the, and there ain't no, and a million racial slurs in the speech, but he so overdid it. And I've been in that position where I'm like, Jesus, here's your fucking note addressed. How about I have Tosh say exactly what your fucking note is? Just to shut you up. And yeah. I go, but that's how important it is to explain. The viewer or reader has to know the motivation. Like, why would he do that? And so anyway, the class cracked up. And I never realized like what a good example it is as a writing lesson.
Did you just
lesson.
Think of that off the top of your head while you were teaching, or you had that planned?
No, I was talking and I'm like, I knew I needed to find an example because I was telling the kid, I'm like, it happens a lot and you get notes and God willing, who knows if they'll ever get work, but God willing, if you guys ever do work on sitcoms or writing stories, a big thing, you'll get lots of notes like, why would your character do that? And it doesn't make sense based on his drive in this story, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, that was really...
That's the other thing. Sitcoms are now being written by AI. Somebody just told me that.
Yeah, our buddy dude was very into tech. But I then said, is AI also creating viewers? Because they're not there.
Right.
It almost doesn't matter. I feel so sorry for sitcoms now because it used to be a lot of good pilots weren't made. And a lot of good sitcoms weren't watched. Now, I can't even imagine how many that's the case for. Because
no one is watching. That's the critical thing about us is that we are so on top of technology that we are just going to slide into the future.
Look at us. Look at you on this Zoom just staring there.
We just debated. Chris Denman was on the call with us as we debated. Well, what if I use my phone? No, but then your headphones don't work. But what if we do the Zoom for the picture, but then we record on our H6?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then you're like, I'll use my iPhone, but it's like the charge is going to run down quick if it's an hour and a half Zoom. And then it's like, oh, but I can't put the headphones because Apple made the same goddamn jack for the headphones and the power.
Yep.
Oh.
So we're here. We're
Did
queer.
Did you get the AC/DC clip that we all sent around this morning?
I can't watch all those clips you guys send around. I have a life.
You should watch it. It's out there. It came across someone's Instagram, and maybe it's old, so I apologize. But it's Star Wars, and it's Darth Vader, and they recut this sick Darth Vader clip, and I think it's from Rogue. What? I've lost track of all the Star Wars, but they replaced the John Williams clip and with Hell's Bells from AC/DC.
My favorite AC/DC song.
It is so kick-ass. So I sent it to Hannah, and I wrote, a little context. I go, also, a little backstory, because without it, it's very basic and bro, and maybe it still is. But I go, but in eighth grade, I thought AC/DC was gone forever because their lead singer died and he was truly irreplaceable. And then all alone in my bedroom, I lowered the needle on track one of AC/DC's new album, which was just black in tribute to the singer. And then there's nothing but a church bell. and another, and then another. And those bells were also a tribute to the singer. And then Angus's guitar slowly comes in and begins what many feel is one of the greatest rock albums ever. There is no conveying how big that album was, especially to a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Anyway, this still shows its power to me anyway.
And then the lyrics.
As soon as you hear it.
I'm rolling thunder, pouring rain. I'm coming on like a hurricane. White lightning's flashing across the sky. You're only young, but you're going to die.
Anyway, I'm bringing it up because, yeah, because we talked about Back in Black, I think last week or the week before. Anyway, I mean, what a character to put on that song, Darth Vader. It's insane. And this scene, he's the most badass lightsaber. Just, he must have killed 20 stormtroopers in this scene. It was and then basically chased a ship away. People will know what I'm talking about now.
All right, the clip will be on our website. As always, everything we say is clickable on the website.
You don't put it on there, do you?
No. We do put our logo on.
One quick thing. One little follow-up, because this will give it meaning and not make it just selfish. So a friend of ours now happens to be the bassist of AC/DC. Just went all over Europe with them. He's an extraordinary musician and very popular. And so I said...
Chris Cheney.
I guess we can say it's Chris Cheney. So Chris, I sent to Chris, I go, you know, this is what I wrote. He wrote, and I sent him what I had sent to Hannah. And Chris goes, I was 10 years old, changed my life. I'm definitely living in a dream. Not one second on stage ever feels any less surreal than the first note I played with them. Superheroes to me then and now.
Wow. Yeah, he said it's unbelievable. They fly private, they stay in the Four Seasons, and the thing is, the band doesn't play every night because they're fucking in their 60s.
Oh, I know.
So they always have an extra day off in London or Copenhagen or wherever they are. So he's just living and they fly his wife out anytime she wants to join him on tour.
He also on those off days and all the time is hanging out with Angus a lot. And
Angus likes to hang with him.
Yeah, he goes out, I was terrified because of the Meet Your Heroes moment. He's like, and he said, which has happened to me a million times in the world of music.
Yeah.
And he goes, it's unbelievable. And he shares stories that Chris knows he has told 10,000 times with excitement. And he has a joy in sharing. And Chris is just sitting there. And Chris, who knows everything about music, has a million questions about how many tracks do they do it live, do they ever use what do they use in the studio, how do they write, and he just said it's the best experience of his life.
He just told me recently that most of their albums were done in a few takes. They go into the studio for like a week and do an entire album,
no click track. And I think all of Back in Black, he believes, have maybe three tracks. I could be wrong, but he's like, a lot of them they would lay it all down and then it would be voice and then another layer of guitar, I think.
Did you feel like that when you first were working with Daniel Tosh?
I feel it in this podcast, actually. And like how we put this together today and the half hour of like grandpa talk between us on how to get this up and going.
All right. Our logo today.
We're one track. We're one track. No click track.
That's it. Raw. And we never redo it because we barely do it in the first place.
Yeah.
Emily Neenan did today's logo. Really, really.
Thank you, Emily.
Went deep. It's the Sunday Papers bingo, and the different slots on the bingo card are Mike's divorce, Greg almost blowing a guy, Fitz fact, ADHD meds wearing off, Tosh.0. Tosh.0 is one of the squares.
I don't bring it up. You do.
that one anal retentive listener's corrections. Used Mustang, Mike's closet, Greg's bad stockbroker, Philly hate, D-list celebrity name drop. I think we've covered every one of those in the last 12
This is a great. Now, by the way, you have not sent me the logo yet, so I'm not seeing it, but
it wouldn't load into the dock from some roof.
No, but this is a very cool idea. I bet other people could come up with other bingo boards.
Everyone stopped listening by now. Greg's anger issues, Ellen's show woes.
Forgetting
Japanese,
a name.
Japanese massage parlor porn. Sorry, moved on.
Yeah, that's going to be disputed, that one, because you came very close to it. How about what's his name? Just that phrase.
Do you know why I stopped watching Japanese massage porn?
Is this a question or is this in the document?
No, I'm asking you.
And finally, your racism caught up to you?
No.
Oh.
Japan scrubbed the internet of Japanese massage porn. There were so many lawsuits that they took it off. But I guess Czechoslovakia maybe doesn't have the internet yet. I'm not sure what's happening, but enjoy it while it lasts.
Czechoslovakia should open their borders to Japanese people and then start move the whole operation to Eastern Europe.
Do you think, you know how black people say N-word, please? Do you think at Czechoslovakia they go, Czech, please?
Interesting. That should have been for up top to grab the listeners.
Our song this week is from Emmett Hall, who's a regular contributor, and we sang his praises a few weeks ago, and so he said as a thank you to our homage to him, he wrote us a new one, and it was very good. Thank you.
T. Emmett Hall. Love it.
Ready for this?
I'm ready for some tour dates.
Are you ready for no corrections this week? Like, literally, we didn't do anything wrong?
I don't think that's what it means.
Well, our people
Were some, you know, I often go silent because I want to invite the corrections. I think I remember going silent a couple of times last week.
Well, I should say I only respond to corrections that are sent to fitzdogradio@gmail.com. I think some might get – you handle the YouTube comments – so
yes.
There may be some there that you need to send to me so I can put them in the script.
Okay, well, I'm going to look that up now while you do tour dates.
Okay. I will be in Costa Mesa at La Cave. I don't know if it's LA Cave or La Cave.
You should know that before you start saying it on stage.
But it's October 24th, Costa Mesa. I'll be in Philly November 7th through the 9th at Helium. Eugene, Oregon, November 13th. Tacoma, in November 14th through 16th. Then I'll be in Tempe, San Francisco, Cleveland, Janesville, Wisconsin, Nyack, Raleigh, Milwaukee, Vegas, Fontana, California, and just announced Comedy Store in La Jolla. Did I say Atlanta? Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Tampa. It's crazy. This is the new hour tour. I'm touring all new material, so come out, get tickets at fitzdog.com. Also, did you find any yet?
Yeah, sure. It was okay. Helene, not Evelyn. No idea what that refers
to. Oh, for the hurricane. I was talking about how the hurricanes all have Jewish names.
Yeah, there's a couple. Hold on.
Although I think Helene is also a Jewish name. What was the guy's name? What was the recent male name for the hurricane? It was very Jewish.
I don't know. I remember Bob. I loved how simple that one was. Remember the one in the 1980s, Hurricane Bob?
I remember Hurricane Bob. And then when we were in college, there was a really scary one that didn't hit at all. They made us tape all the windows in all the dorms on the
G-L-O-R-I-A, Gloria.
Oh, right. Oh, Milton was the recent hurricane.
Yes, that's right. Milton.
Milton and Helena are coming over.
Greg, while trying to think of the killer skateboard boy, Mike said Earl and you said no. Earl's a comic. You should have also mentioned Earl is also Ethel Kennedy's nephew.
Yeah. Okay.
Should have said that. Let's see. Blow. Well, this isn't a correction, but maybe I answered this guy, but you should know this. Hey, guys. My brother and I watched Blood Simple upon a Greg and Mike mutually agreed upon wreck a few episodes ago. We can't understand what is so good about this movie. Can you please address in a future podcast, please? We are in our 40s as well. As well as what? And still don't get it. Ha ha ha. We need some sort of explanation to get 2 hours of our lives back. I'll read what I wrote, so maybe it'll be shortcut some of what you'll say. I said, in my opinion, it's great throughout to think what each character wants and what they know, and then you see how all of them are wrong. But it got a lot of points for their noir style. Don't get me wrong, it's no Country for Old Men. Thoughts, Greg?
Yeah, I liked that they introduced the kind of cinematography. Yes, very film noir, but also it was confident filmmaking. You know, they did artsy kind of shots, but they really framed the faces in a way that you see in all their movies. It's subtle. You absolutely fall in love with what's her name? Who's the actress?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, future wife. Here's a bingo card.
She has the
card.
Worst name. What's her name? Nobody can ever remember her name, and she's one of the biggest actresses in the country. Why is that? Some people just have bad names.
Well, I have a list on my phone. There's certain names I have blocks against. Frances McDormand. I have blocks, and it's because I've created the block, and then what happens is a little bit of panic comes in. And what I've learned is I'm so terrible with names. I have to really put aside time with my class to tell them, please don't be offended. Like, if I could, I'd force you to wear name tags. But when a little panic comes in to someone with ADD, it's gone.
Well, yeah. And then last night, they always assign one server to come to the green room to get food and drinks for the comics that are in there. And it's kind of a good gig because, you know, I always tip them a lot every night. And so the server came in. She came in probably 4 times checking on us. You sure you don't need anything? End of the night, I go inside. And this server is a plus-size woman. Mm-hmm. And I walk into the kitchen and I see a plus-size woman and I hand her the money and I go, this is for you. And then she turns to her right and gives it to my actual waitress and says, this is for you.
Tell them Large Marge sent you.
I am so bad. Oh, that was such a bad moment. That's one of those moments you remember it and you say something out loud to yourself. You have a physical movement and say something to yourself like you're a fucking idiot.
Oh, I've told you, I mean, a long time ago, but it's worth repeating. But I have stopped now. I literally have to tell myself to stop. When I've done something like I've forgotten someone's name, or I'm like, oh, fuck, whatever. When I then go into the bathroom to the urinal and I see I'm alone, I'll be like, you fucking idiot. And I'll say that. And then I hear the fucking toilet rustle or like the toilet paper. I'm like, oh, shit. And now I want to say it more than ever. There you go
again.
All right,
I'm going to give you some descriptions of actors that I block their names. And let me see if you can conjure their names. Because I believe
that
some people
I'm not feeling good. All right, let me try. Some days, you know, with enough sleep, I feel okay. But go ahead.
It's not that they're obscure. It's that they have the kind of names you don't remember. Okay. This guy played the lawyer.
I'm panicking already. Go ahead.
He was the non-Italian lawyer in The Godfather.
Oh, yeah. He's from the Midwest. Robert Duvall.
See? Yeah, yeah. I mean, Robert Duvall's a huge actor, and I get stuck on that name.
I had to picture him in Apocalypse Now to get his name.
All right, the guy from The Deer Hunter, who has kind of a long jaw and narrow eyes.
Wait, not John Voight.
Not John Voight, the other star.
Well, hold on. De Niro, Voight, Walken. Who describe him more?
What else was he in? Hold on, I'm looking up Deer Hunter.
I won't look it up because it'll spoil our non-fun.
I'm gonna give you a couple.
I hope everyone's playing.
My memory. He's actually not in that movie.
Okay. AI, you see, AI can't write that. AI can't write what just happened. AI cannot write what just happened, no matter what. It can't imagine us, its creator, being that stupid because it's damning to itself.
I'm glad you can't see my face right now because it's red and I have tears coming through my eyes.
Yeah. You see, you finally look alive.
All right,
was there a bingo card for that? I doubt it.
Listen, this Prize Picks is one of our big sponsors this week. We love Prize Picks. Why? Because it's a source of revenue for me. Not many of our sponsors. I mean, they all pay us, but then this is like I make more money by actually using it. Best place to get real money, sports action. They've got 10 million.
Oh, the place to have fun. Come on now.
10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. It's fantasy sports. You pick more or less on at least two players, and you can win up to 100 times your cash. I do it, and I love more or less because I have a really good sense. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm really good in suicide pools. I've managed to win mine twice, and I don't know. And I don't research. I just go with my gut.
No.
And I got some picks for next week. I don't know what you guys have lined up, but I'm seeing. Wait, hold on. I had the figures.
And by the way, they now have the flex play, which means you can still cash out if your lineup isn't perfect.
Oh, right.
You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. How about that?
Right. And they've got.
They're in
what
over
else?
30 states, including California, Florida, Georgia, and Tejas.
If you want to get involved, you can win 100 times your money. And then also, here are some picks that I have for next week. Justin Jefferson on the Minnesota Vikings will get more than 83.5
yards, is very important.
No, you never say 0.5, you say a half. I don't know why,
but
they asked me specifically in the read not to say 0.5, so it's a half. I believe Christian McCaffrey, he's back, so I think he's going to run more than 75 and a half yards.
Nice.
Those
are my
big
picks. You win real money. You also get your money quick. There's fast, safe withdrawals. They're secure. When the pick hits, you get your money as quickly as 15 minutes.
Guess what else? If you sign up today, you get $50 instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So download the app today and use code PAPERS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Download the app today, use code PAPERS, get $50 instantly after your play for the first $5 lineup. And look, Prize Picks, run your game. Okay. Do you want to talk about ground news?
Yeah, I'm actually going on the site because our lead story is going to be Bush at the funny
Bush.
Dinner that they have.
Not Bush. Did I say AI can't write that you missed the last three administrations on that presidential guest.
You know, our Georgia man story has to do with a former president, and so I was actually thinking about Bush today. That's no excuse.
Yeah, I'm always thinking about Bush. That's why
I have to download
Czechoslovakian hidden camera porn.
Check, please. Check Bush, please. So I'm looking to see if it's in here. Yeah, you go.
All right, you look it up. I'll set this up. So listen, you and I, we do a podcast about the news. We go out of our way not alienate listeners based on political stances. We feel like we want to deliver
We feel news. That you're all snowflakes and you can't handle it, both sides. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, yeah, there's that. I always feel like one side is one side is annoying. One political party is annoying.
You don't have
and
to elaborate
one,
on this. You probably are bummed I brought it up. Dude, you can
and
keep
the
going.
Other one is overreacting to how annoying the first one is. That's my breakdown of all politics right now. So if you want to get both sides of the news in a way that allows you to take on a topic or a story from multiple perspectives and also have the background of the news source you're getting, so you know if it's corporate financed, if it's grassroots, if it's traditionally a left-wing or a right-wing news source, it tells you about blind spots in the news, which means yep. like a story might come up that the right doesn't want publicized or the left doesn't want publicized. They call it a blind spot, which just makes you go like, all right, well, this story is something that maybe you need to read about if you're from that side. We have split headlines. And if you go to groundworks.com/SP, you get 40% off the Vantage plan, which lets you go a little bit deeper. Did you find your story?
No, you know, it's not on the homepage, but I found an interesting story on the drones. But no, but the Al Smith
I got a
dinner,
couple stories right now. Here's the thing.
But here's an example. If I was to do this, I know you could find these. So the Al Smith dinner is both candidates are supposed to go, and it's supposed to be almost like the press corps dinner where it's really funny. Jim Gaffigan was the comedian. And Kamala had a scheduling conflict and she didn't show. And Trump complained about that a lot. And he was like, you know, it wasn't easy for me to get here, but you don't miss this thing. So anyway, the news, I'm sure Fox News or right-leaning news would be like, Kamala offends, you know, by standing them up, offends the Al Smith dinner and the Catholics, because it's a Catholic night as well. And then the left will probably be like, Kamala Harris sends hysterical video with Mary Catherine Gallagher assisting to deliver the laughs. Like, that would be an example.
Well, here's an example. This was about how Trump and Kamala are both in Michigan stumping. And it shows you how it's viewed from the right and the left. So in this case, you've got... it tells you the amount of people. There are 46 news sources covering this story just on this app. It's amazing. 9 of them are from the left, 7 are from the right, 30 are from the center. And the one that I found from the right is Breitbart. And it says it tells you it's from the right. And it says mixed factuality, as I guess they do fact checking. And it says, Arab Americans are lining up to vote for Trump in Michigan. That's their headline. And then from the left, which is the AP wire, it says Harris and Trump seek Arab American votes in Michigan in effort to shore up battleground states. That doesn't feel like it's that far from the left, but that, I guess the AP is considered more left. And so it lets you do that. And it's just a great way to feel like at the end of the day, you're not in an echo chamber, as they call it, and you're sort of like identifying maybe where the real story is. So Ground News is a perfect sponsor for us because it helps us share our stories with you. Go to groundnews.com/SP to get 40% off the Ground News Vantage plan, which will unlock access to all of their news analysis features. I think Ground News is doing important work, and I hope you'll check them out. That's ground, GROUND.news/SP. You got something to crinkle there, Mike Gibbons?
Yeah, but you know, just kind of news before we get into our top story. It's actually a really good site just for news. So I'm on here now. This isn't even part of the promo, but did you see the footage of the Hamas leader who was blown up?
Did he have a pager on?
Killed by Israeli forces. No. But just as high tech. So I went on the New York Times site, said they had video. I'm like, what? So there's picture of him in a, like, it looks like a really shelled out, like, apartment in this building. And he's bleeding from one arm. And he's sitting in a chair. And it's, by the way, I only saw a still photo, but it's video. So get this. I think part of his wall was blown out, like where the window was. he looks over, a drone, an Israeli drone comes down and identifies him, and he starts raising a stick. And he, by the way, he stares at the drone for 20 seconds, and then he throws the stick, and then the drone just goes away, and then the building is blown up.
Damn.
Now, the drone didn't blow up the building, but the drone informed.
Identified.
Yeah, yeah. So get this. Wow. On the front page right now of Ground News, drone from Lebanon targets Netanyahu's house. Yeah.
Oh,
so
shit.
It's a new type of war. And man, have you seen the drone shows out of China where 10,000 drones are in the air at the same time?
What?
Dude, no. All right, we're going to do this story next week, so I'll only say this about it. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And then at one point, by the way, it creates this building in the sky, and the built like a Times Square, and the building has a giant screen, video screen, like Times Square would, and on the video screen, video is playing because the drones are doing that also.
Oh my gosh!
No, it's crazy. It's unbelievable. But let's get into it. Oh, what?
All right, let's do it. God's sake.
Google Chinese drones.
We're 45 minutes into the podcast, and that's the first news story, and it's not
we've had a good time. Okay, so
right,
at the
listen.
Al Smith dinner, I watched it. I was watching it last night, and I just decided to take some notes. Okay, it's funny on so many levels. Not really the typical funny level, but there's meta levels to this. Anyway, Gaffigan was up there, and he was being an equal opportunity offender, and he hit Kamala for not being there and all that stuff. But his last joke, and a couple of them were awkward, like where he would say, maybe I shouldn't have, skip that one prompter, like he would do that. But he goes, so before I bring up President Trump, I just want to say that, he talked about the migrants taking cats and eating them. So if you're keeping track, this is the second time grabbing a kitty has been a campaign issue. Right?
Yeah.
He's 2 feet away from Trump. And and you then, because the camera, I was watching a feed they had. So the camera wasn't on Gaffigan. And all of a sudden you hear, and I think it was his wife, like, I thought you were going to skip that one. He goes, I should have. And like she was a perfect straight man, kind of.
That's awesome.
So Trump gets up there. He, of course, is rambling. The first thing he says is, they told me there's no prompters. There's no way to have prompters. And then this guy comes up pointing to Gaffigan, and there's a prompter. And it's literally like he wants an answer. He's looking over at the cardinal. He's like, you said I couldn't do a prompter. Anyway, I guess they don't like the candidates use a prompter.
Yeah.
So he's going off notes. You know how he does not do anything word for word. So anyway, he goes, these are just a couple of things. Many of you are New York liberals here tonight from the Democrat Party. And he's like, Chuck, because Schumer is literally right to his left. He's like, Schumer doesn't like that. I say Democrat, wants me to say Democratic. But I say Democrat because it sounds worse. Like, that's not a joke. You're saying exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And then he does another one and he goes, does anyone understand that? I thought it was very good until just now.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And then he just goes on. And then another one, he goes, all right, you know, only a few people got that. By the way, what he read made zero sense. He clearly skipped a sentence. So he's like, only a few people got that. Nobody got that one. And then he goes, child care plan. This is great. He goes, child care plan that Kamala has. All I have to say is don't let your husband Doug anywhere near the nannies. And everyone started like kind of booing a little bit. And then he goes, that's a nasty one. That's nasty. I told these idiots that gave me this stuff, that's too tough. They told me the last time I did this, I was running against Crooked Hillary, and I did the nasty jokes, and people didn't like it. And anyway, he called them idiots who wrote his jokes. Here was Trump's best joke. Tradition holds that I'm supposed to tell a few self-deprecating jokes this evening, so here it goes. Nope, I've got nothing.
That's hilarious. I love that.
That was like that Kilborn. I've told you that Kilborn story where I forced him to do a self-deprecating joke, and then he does it, and he looks right at me, and he points to his face, and he goes, self-deprecating. And that was on TV. And then he gets, the last thing I'll say is, he goes, yeah, Crooked Hillary, crazy, all the nicknames were out. It was so, and this one not, these were not written for him. Crazy Nancy, Crooked Hillary, and then he goes, have you seen The View, this stupid show, The View? It's so bad. Now he goes on about that he misses, he wants, what's her name back, who he hates, to come back to The View.
Joy Behar?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, yeah.
And then he goes, and then one mayor is here who is the worst mayor in New York. And I'm like, is this going to be a joke? And he's like, and I'm not talking about Mike, meaning Bloomberg, who was also there. And he goes, de Blasio, he was a terrible mayor. I don't care if this is comedy or not. He did a horrible job. That's not comedy, by the way. That's a fact.
That's not comedy, by the way.
He's 10 feet away from the guy.
All right, let's do this next one.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Bay Area startup claims it developed two-way communication between people via dreams. The Redwood City startup says it reached the milestone this month with the technology that linked two people in a lucid dream state. It achieved the communication again this week. Lucid dreaming is the state in which you're asleep but also aware you're dreaming. So the guy goes, for example, when this participant found himself in a lucid dream, our server sent him a random word, so nobody knew what the word would be, and in a lucid dream, he replied. Our server detected his reply and confirmed that it was right. And when the next person found herself in a lucid dream, we sent his answer to her, and she repeated it as well. The communication is achieved through a special device that attaches itself to different areas on the head. When you talk in this language in your dreams, we can hear you, and we can, this is when you're talking in your dream, Greg.
Yeah.
This thing can hear you, and we can connect two dreamers together. They submitted the work for peer review, and they're now looking for locals to participate in further studies. So if I do not put this story in ChatGPT this week and tell it to write a thriller based on these dream experiences where while unconscious, people are talking to each other, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, right. Wait, so it's just for dreamers? So what thoughts are they going to share? Like, what are we going to do if Trump wins the election? We're only We're only 17. We were born here. What should we do?
I want to hear you imitate Czech people now that you're watching so much of them. How about Czech dreamers? They're dreamers too.
Yeah, they dream of getting to Greece.
To Japan. So anyway, yeah, I don't have to do the Jeff and Jenny story, but
all right.
On the wedding night, my stepbrother and stepsister, we all shared a room. It was the first time meeting my stepbrother. I guess I am telling the story. They talked to each other while dreaming. And Laura and I looked at each other like, what the fuck has my father done?
Like, you mean out loud they talked to each other?
Yes. She was like, splash, splash, stop, stop. And he's like, no, no. Like, he answered her. They were both asleep.
Wow.
So that was out loud, which is even freakier than what's going on in this experiment.
After shuttering more than 100 locations across the country and filing for Chapter 11, Red Lobster has hired a new CEO. The embattled franchise has been around for 56 years. This person, Damala Adamolukun, 535, has voiced his passion for the brand. I guess this is the new CEO. This is, without exaggeration, one of the most important companies in American history, he said. His first major step towards rescuing Red Lobster is to eliminate one of its most iconic menu items, $20 Endless Shrimp, which was first launched in 2004. The company has lost an estimated $20 million in 2023 when Endless Shrimp became a permanent year-round menu option. Yeah, and the hospital around the corner has a $20 all-you-can-eat Jell-O in the stroke unit.
It's not going to be $20 for Endless Shrimp within reason. Within reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Kevin Meaney used to have a joke where he goes, all you can eat. You're not supposed to eat all you can eat. It's such an American thing.
Oh,
to
totally.
Eat all you can eat.
Yeah. No, it's as if literal whales came through and the shrimp were plankton. It's just wiping out the whole salad bar.
Can we talk about the elephant in the living room, or should we say the black person in Red Lobster?
What?
It is a very black clientele at Red Lobster.
Well, it depends on what part of the country, too, but I think a lot of people are gaming the system. In fact, it's called Red Lobster because the lobsters are blushing. They're so embarrassed by the people who go to Red Lobster.
By the way, they're the worst fucking shrimp. They're like the Special Olympics of shrimp. They don't look like they've ever exercised.
Yeah, they're runts. Yeah, what kind of shrimp are these? Oh, they're runt shrimp. They're shrimp that even their mothers wouldn't feed.
Yeah. All right. One man had his lifetime first class ticket on American Airlines canceled after years of racking up over $21 million in flights. Stephen Rothstein had his ticket revoked with American. They were looking for a new revenue stream, so it introduced the AA Air Pass in 1981. $250,000 would get you unlimited first class travel for a lifetime. Only 66 people bought the ticket. He enjoyed it. He enjoyed trotting around the globe. He became great friends with the crew. And then he was grounded in 2007 because the airline was losing so much money. They said he was costing them $1 million a year. Meanwhile, what? I'm being gouged $900 to fly to Cleveland with no seat assignment, no overhead carry-on. I think they're doing okay. I think they're making their money back.
Well, I remember, here we are with names, Mark Cuban has told the story when he first sold whichever one. I don't know if it was the big one he sold, but the first time he came into millions of dollars, he asked airlines, I don't know, it might have been American. He goes, is there any lifetime ticket I can buy? And they're like, there sure is. And it might have been this.
Yeah. He was one of the 66.
I doubt they took Mark Cuban's away.
So they're taking that away, and they're also on American Airlines first class. They're taking away all you can eat Red Lobster shrimp.
Did they ever take away just giving you tickets at all, even charging you for what you do disgracefully on airplanes? which should be another bingo card entry?
I enjoy. I get very turned on when I fly. I don't know if it's a high altitude or whatever, but it just pops up like a turkey thermometer. We get to 10,000 feet, boom.
That's your version of a panic attack. That's what's happening.
I think it is self-soothing, absolutely.
As you attack yourself in a panic.
Speaking of getting turned on, the Girl Scouts of the USA are going to raise their prices, not for their cookies, for their membership. It's going from $25 a year to $85 per scout. They're trying to improve program delivery for current and future members. They say that it's the largest source of revenue. They get $38 million a year from their 2 million total members, but they're losing money. So, maybe here's my solution. Send these girls out. Forget just selling the cookies. Weed's legal in most states. What a pairing. You talk about like a pasta with a certain wine. How about an eighth of Chronic with 9 boxes of Thin Mints?
Or combined. They're combined also.
Oh, I like that.
Pot cookies. Girl Scout pot cookies.
Yep. And then they hang out with you, you know? Because you ever get high and hang out with little kids? It's fucking great because they just want to play.
I'm going to say no. I'm officially going to say no. I don't enjoy that or do it.
Let's move on to entertainment.
Wait, by the way, no, they're also raising the price because they've finally had the sense to arm the Girl Scouts with mace as they send little girls in skirts knocking door to door in neighborhoods.
Yes, or sitting outside of a fucking 7-Eleven where there's just tons of homeless people.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? All right, let's go on to entertainment. Here we go. All right.
The first openly transgender Victoria's Secret model fired back at critics after she made her historic runway debut. On Tuesday, Valentina Sampaio stepped out into the lingerie extravaganza in Brooklyn alongside fellow transgender model Alex Consani. Marked the first time transgender women were ever featured in this iconic show. Not all people supported it. The Brazilian model said walking the runway after its six-year absence was a dream come true. Forget Victoria. Sounds like Valentina was one of the ones with a secret for a while, too.
Here's the biggest secret ever. Victoria, what are you doing?
Victor. Victor's secret.
That's what it should be. That's the new catalog. Victor's Secrets.
And the secret is that Victor's thong has electrical tape on the inside.
Where was this when I was younger? I might have stopped. It might have like helped the time I spent with the catalog. No offense. It's just not my thing. I think I would have been thinking a little too much. That's what it would have been.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you always feel a little bit ashamed, but then you feel confused and ashamed. And by the way, people have been transitioning in that fashion show for 30 years. They go from women to whores in 5 minutes.
That's what it should be, Victor's Secret. And it's all the women who have transferred. They've transitioned to men, and then they get their own catalog.
Oh, the former, I like that.
The former hottie women are now hottie men in their own catalog. Victor's Secret.
Yep.
Victor's Secret. Done.
I wonder if there's ever a strip club that is for transitioned people. Man, because, you know, like Jim Norton got married to a trans woman, and she's wonderful.
And are they still married? I don't know about that.
Yeah, they're very happily married. She's amazing. I just hung out with them in New York
a few weeks ago. And she was born a male?
Correct.
I don't even
know
if I can say that sentence.
That's what a transitioned woman is. Is it that complicated?
Well, Jim's complicated, so I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on.
Guess who else has transitioned? Ben Affleck's hair and beard makeover is just the tip of the iceberg as he's decided to overhaul his life from top to bottom now that he's single. His ex, Jennifer Lopez, is very upset that he never took care of himself like this when they were married. He's famous for his frumpy look, a sweater, and a 5 o'clock shadow. Now he's going out of his way. He is dyeing his hair, getting manicures and pedicures, wax from head to toe, hair plugs. He's going to the dermatologist for skin treatments to turn back the clock. Look, none of that matters. Has he scrubbed the annoying Boston accent? Look, sweetie, I got nice fingernails. I got nice toenails. You're unfuckable.
The reviews from Boston are already in, and it said, you fucking queer.
By the way, you're Ben Affleck. If you're worth $90 million, do you really need to shave to get some pussy?
He's also, here's Lopez making it about herself. How about he is starting to show his age, and all of them are getting work. Bradley Cooper with the plugs. All those rags, like People and Us on the cover, they all have the before and after for Brad Pitt as well. Brad Pitt's had all this work done on his face.
Yeah.
All the leading guys are hanging on. Are you kidding me?
It's amazing how Rob Lowe looks right now. I mean, it's uncanny how good that guy looks.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, when I was watching Butch and Sundance with Sophie, I was like, I didn't want her to see what Robert Redford looks like now, nor
Paul Newman's dead, isn't he?
Paul Newman, right, exactly. Especially him. But I don't want her to see, you know, his sun damage. Like, it's like you want them, and now, like, let's say, who is it for us? Like, is it Brad Pitt? Is it and any of these good-looking guys? It's like, yes, please dye your hair. Like, you're a little bit of a canary in the coal mine for us. Like, you're an easy, too easy way for us to see how old we are.
That's true. Good point. Who is
please,
your gay hall?
Keep it
who,
tight.
Who is your gay hall pass, Paul Newman or Robert Redford, in that movie?
Now that I'm older, I'd say it's Newman, but I think Redford was the more classic beauty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you see that documentary about Paul Newman?
No, I have to see that.
Oh, my God. It's pretty amazing. First of all, there's a lot of... He went to the neighborhood playhouse, which is where I went, and I didn't realize everybody that went to my acting school. He was there at the same time as James Dean, Marilyn Monroe. There was like two other like huge names that were all there at the same time.
Shirley from Poseidon Adventure and A Raisin, A Day in the Sun or something. Shirley.
Not Shirley.
I think it is Shirley. Hold on.
Not Shirley. She used to hang out at that diner in Hollywood every day.
The Silver Spoon.
Yeah, she was there every day. And you could walk up and talk to her.
See, I get names when there's no pressure on me. Shelley. Winters.
Shelley Winters, yes. So, all right, let's make America Florida.
Hold on one sec. Shelley Winters, I got to look up, what was the movie she was in? A Place in the Sun, that's what it was.
I think that started as a play. Was it Tennessee Place in the Sun? Play? Yeah.
I don't know, but Montgomery Clift, baby.
Oh,
all right,
I'm
here we go.
Of a raisin in the sun.
And we are going to make America Florida. All right. Guess who added another mugshot to the collection? We talked about him last week and we showed the mugshots. Viral Florida man, Lieutenant Dan, arrested again. Lieutenant Dan made it through the storm unscathed, and he's gotten plenty of offers, by the way, from his 15 minutes of fame. There was a GoFundMe set up for Lieutenant Dan and raised nearly 50 grand, and a streamer offered to buy the man a new $100,000 boat. Lieutenant Dan managed to land a deal with the streaming platform Kick and then promptly dropped a racial slur during his first stream.
Hey, now.
And now in another surprising twist, he's back behind bars. Lieutenant Dan was arrested this morning on two outstanding warrants for failure to appear. They should know by now that this guy just ain't showing up for court. And he was also charged with a misdemeanor trespassing charge.
I heard the charges are pretty solid. The DA says he doesn't have a leg to stand on. Lieutenant, why make that joke? Is it necessary?
Lieutenant Dan is missing one. That's how he got his name, missing one of his legs.
And by the way, if you're going to raise money for this guy, boat or leg, where do you want to spend the money? I mean, if Rob Lowe is getting eye tucks, I think you'd go with leg.
Yeah. And advice to the streaming platform. If you're going to have a Florida man be one of your talent, you need a 7-second delay. You need a sensor on that button full time.
The Florida Five, they call it. And by the way, why is he even being arrested? Because isn't he in international waters? Isn't floating 8 feet from a dilapidated dock in St. Pete? Isn't that international waters?
No, you have to go further out. Otherwise, they'd all gamble right there in the intercoastal.
Right.
You kidding me? Yeah, no. I remember when we talked about if we ever went on cruises during the whole Love Boat craze. When I was very little, my dad took my sister on a cruise. And then I remember how big the announcement was about an hour outside of Miami. They're like, the blackjack tables are open. Like they hit the, whatever it is, the border, the line where then you are in international waters and you can gamble.
What's going on in Georgia?
Okay. Oh, it's a new category. Georgia man, former President Jimmy Carter. Cast his ballot in the presidential race in Georgia on Wednesday, the second day of early voting in his home state, where records, early voting records, are being shattered, by the way. He voted by mail, the Carter Center said, fulfilling his wish to live long enough to vote in this election. Carter turned 100 earlier this month, becoming the first former president in U.S. history to do so. He has been in hospice care at his home in Plains, Georgia, since February. Carter lost his wife, Rosalind, in November after 77 years of marriage. He attended his late wife's memorial in a wheelchair. Carter had told a family member that he was only trying to make it to vote in this election. And that was according to his grandson, Jason Carter. Anyway, I'm just kind of excited about it. You have a funny joke here, but I just thought this was such a nice story.
It's beautiful, but you got to look at the. I'm surprised the guy's got time, because after being he's single for the first time in 77 years. You'd think he'd be focused entirely on trying to get some pussy, getting his peanut into Georgia Peach. Don't you think?
That's what I think of when I especially see Jimmy Carter now.
Yeah,
I'm like that guy.
Peanut, it's a peanut shell with only one nut in it, probably at this point.
But that's why I was thinking of Bush earlier, is because I don't know that one of the things I liked about this is just whether it was Bush Senior, even, because I know it's like a bit of Stockholm syndrome that I would do anything for him to be president at this point. But it's like there was a dignity, like these guys actually like felt shame, and it was just such a more gentlemanly and polite discourse at that level in our government.
Yeah, I just read Jimmy Carter's biography, and he was a hard ass, though. He came off very sweet, not in a bad way, but he was very demanding. He's the kind of guy that got up at 5 a.m. and he worked nonstop, he really got kind of fucked by his circumstances in some ways, but he made a couple big mistakes, and he really paid.
Of course, you're a doer. If you go from dirt poor farmer in Georgia all the way to the White House, yeah, you're driven. There's no doubt about it.
Speaking of
all right,
driven,
let's get on
how
to sports.
About the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Mets
sports.
And the fucking Cleveland, whatever Cleveland's name is.
Oh my God, the Commanders.
The Temptations opened up game 5 of the NL Championship in New York with a rendition of My Girl, which this season has served as the walk-up music for New York Mets shortstop Francisco Lindor. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inducted R&B group, which still features founding member Otis Williams. Otis, my man. The last surviving original Temptation. The whole stadium sang along And I see it's great because there's so many of these old bands and singers and their lyrics, just they're still touring. But some of the songs you can't really sing as an old man. Like, I don't know if Gary Puckett is still singing, "Young girl, get out of my mind. My love for you is way out of line. You better run, girl. You're much too young, girl." Remember that one? Imagine that guy at 78 singing that in a fucking Indian casino in Tulsa.
By the way, no need to send a correction. I was joking about the Guardian. They're the Guardians. What did I just call the I call the Commanders is the other Native American
Washington
misstep rename that has happened. Yeah. By the way,
you think Ringo Starr is singing "You Come On Like a Dream, Peaches and Cream, Lips Like Strawberry Wine, You're 16, You're Beautiful in Your Mind"?
Okay. When the AC/DC clip that we were talking about went around our text chain earlier, Mikey talked about his memory of being in this girl's basement when they were like in middle school or high school, you know, playing kissing games and all that, and with cranking AC/DC. And he goes, "I just remember vividly, like, 'Let Me Put My Love Into You,' their song off Back in Black. And here are some of the lyrics to 'Let Me Put My Love Into You.' Don't you struggle, don't you fight, don't you worry, because it's your turn tonight. Let me put my love into you, babe. Let me put my love on the line. Let me put my love into you, babe. Let me cut your cake with my knife."
Yeah. You know what's great is that line they wrote. Their metaphors were so fucking blunt. But then you hear the band Darkness. You ever heard Darkness from Australia?
Yeah.
And they take it a step further. I wouldn't say they're an AC/DC parody, but they're very AC/DC influence. Fucking amazing band musically, but even funnier than AC/DC.
I'm taking away people's joy on your Fitz facts. The Darkness is from Britain.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
International?
Now let's do This Day in History.
You got it. Hold on. That can be very international. Here we go. This day in history. I remember seeing a couple of good ones here. Let's see. We have, you know Napoleon too well, but hold on. Pope John Paul II, beatified?
Beatified.
What is it?
I think it's beatified, isn't it?
I used to know the word, and now I'm looking at it, it's the most foreign thing ever. Beatified, such a weird word. Mother Teresa, she had won the 1979 Nobel Peace Prize for her charity work, but Pope John Paul II sainted her, that's the word I'm going to use, on this day in what year, give or take 3 years?
I'm going to say the same year that the Mets won the World Series, 1986.
2003.
No.
Pope John Paul II, bro. That's why I only gave you three, a 7-year window.
Damn.
Off to a terrible start.
17 years. Jesus.
Jesus H. Australia's Sydney Opera House, designed by the Danish architect Jørn Olsen, whose dynamic, imaginative, but problematic plan won an international competition. I can't say it. It was on that. Anyway, on this day, in what year did it open?
I'm going to go.
Oh, give or take. Sorry. Give or take 7 years.
I'm going to say 1974.
Jeepers, 1973.
Nice.
I can't see if you're cheating though, because you're not live.
No, I am not. I would never cheat on this because it's too much fun to get it as wrong as I get it sometimes.
By the way, when I was reading it, the imaginative but problematic plan won an international competition in 1957. Look at that. That was 16 years before it opened.
I was just kind of thinking about this, the design. It was post Art Deco. 70s was kind of like ostentatious a little bit.
I'm giving you a 5-year window for this. So it's give or take 2 years. A plane carrying the Southern rock band Lynyrd Skynyrd crashed in Gillsburg, Mississippi, killing singer Ronnie Van Zant and guitarist Steve Gaines, among others. What happened on this day in what year, give or take 2 years?
Damn, that's tight.
A 5-year window? When do you think they were around?
I'm going to say 1977.
It was actually 1977.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
Nice.
And you said I gave you too tight a window. Good Lord. Give or take 2 years. That's generous. Former First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy married Greek shipping magnate Aristotle Onassis.
Huh. Kennedy died in 1963. That was in the 1970s. I'll say 1983.
Oh, boy. 1968.
No.
Your misses are the worst they've ever been.
Jesus.
But you got one on the nose, too.
Wait, so she married him 5 years after Kennedy died?
Disgraceful. Kennedys don't cry.
Damn.
Let's see. None of these are really good. Not good. You would get these, like the Nixon-Kennedy debate. I'm looking for one more. I'm in other days now. The week, it's this week. You know, the Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, all this shit. Yeah. Sorry, here we go. Okay.
Kennedy debate was 1960, I'm guessing.
Give or take 30 years. French artist Paul Cézanne, considered one of the greatest of the post-impressionists, died at the age of 67. Give or take 30 years. When did Cézanne die?
1983.
1906. And we're going to go out on that one. I thought you were going to guess 1810.
I thought the Impressionists were like the turn of the century.
He's post-Impressionist.
But that's even later. He would be even older if he's post-Impressionist.
Here we go. Letters to the editor. I'm calling
Hello, Greg
section.
And Mike. And Allison, too, I've had a severe, non-contagious, bizarre, initially misdiagnosed viral infection since September 6th. I'll spare you the gory details. I can hardly walk. I can get to work and sit and do my job, which is a nice distraction from the pain. I used to run around like an ADHD chicken, always looking for things to do with my physical and mental energy. Now I have to carefully consider each time I get up the choreography of where I will go and what I will do before I have to sit down again. It's a bit of a mindful practice to look for gratitude. But the nights are so long and hard, and I thank you for the podcast and companionship and humor and compassion and silliness and honesty. It has helped me more than I can express. This too shall pass. Love from your fan, Susie.
Oh, well, glad we can help. And Susie, listen, it's all in your fucking head, bitch. Just get up and walk around.
Get up, Susie. Wake
just
up,
do it.
Little Susie.
Just do it.
Just do it. That is a very moving note to get.
Yeah,
thank
Susie,
you, Susie.
We're totally joking. So sorry for whatever the hell this is.
Jesus. Well, it's definitely ADHD. It's one thing if you have depression and then this happens to you, you're like, all right, perfect fit. Binge TV, sleep 16 hours a day. But when you're a hyper person, oh my God, that must make it so much harder.
I wonder if it's some avian flu, because she was an ADHD chicken. You know, maybe that set predisposed her to this illness.
Maybe it's salmonella.
No, but Susie, that's a very sweet note. Thank you. And good luck, and I hope you're getting better.
This is a bad transition, but let's get to obituaries.
Poor Susie's on her way.
And that's all, folks.
You know, we didn't really cover Pete Rose, but Dickie had a funny joke 2 weeks ago when Pete Rose died, which was the real tragedy is Pete had himself in the Deadpool. Because he's a gambler.
Joke. Did he write that for somebody, or he just thought?
I don't think there's anyone to write for anymore, Greg.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay, a bit sad. Liam Payne, former singer for the popular British boy band One Direction, died on Wednesday after falling from a third floor balcony at a hotel in Buenos Aires.
Sounds like he was only going in one direction on that one.
I'm not saying at all he would even recognize me in a lineup, but I worked with him a few times because at James Corden, they were friends of the show, and we filmed the thing where One Direction played dodgeball. We took them to a gym nearby, and all of them were so nice. Truly though, they were so respectful and almost awestruck at their own success. So anyway, I don't have to read all this, but there's New York Times did a What We Know, you know, so far, and there was a 911 call, and he was trashing his room. The 911 call was from a hotel employee who was concerned that maybe he would hurt himself because he seemed out of sorts, and then he was destroying the room. And
they
then
found narcotics and alcohol in the room.
There's no suspicion that anyone else was involved. There was no defensive injuries. But boy, he was racked up on the pavement. And it was interesting. The autopsy then, from that evidence of how badly injured he was when he hit, that there was zero effort to break his fall, even just reflexes. So they're wondering if he was unconscious maybe when he fell.
I wonder if you fall from that height, 25 floors, and you were conscious.
Three floors.
Three floors. Okay. Then I can see trying to break
your fall.
But what
were you saying?
I was wondering, like, if you're from 25 floors and somehow you're still conscious, do you think you'd put your arms out before you hit the ground to try to stop, to try to, like, make it better?
I don't know. Why don't you watch the 9/11 footage that you're always watching and see if those guys did it? Let's get on to funnies.
Let's cheer up.
Well, why do we have to cheer up from people jumping out of the Twin Towers?
Lockhorns, she's...
Wait, hold on. Tons of comments on the YouTube page that we did not do the caption this contest last week.
We apologize. Last week, we also had technical difficulties in the sense that Mike was running about a half a day late, maybe
for
6 hours late for the taping.
Remember.
And we're a little discombobulated.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Look at, today's your turn.
So we had to keep it short because...
Sorry, my apologies to everybody.
I had a show.
Right.
So anyway, we'll get... Oh, God, and I didn't pick one for... I'm going to pick... I have one. No, I don't have one for this week. Fuck.
Wait. Did you have one in for last week? I can go get it while you're talking.
I didn't put one in for last week.
You did not.
But I will find one as you are doing.
You want me to do the Lockhorns?
Shit! I just lost the script.
I don't know their name.
Yeah, you do the Lockhorns while I find one.
This is a perfect example. I forget their names.
Loretta and Leroy.
Leroy.
Yeah.
Loretta is cooking. It looks like on a grill. Yeah, they're outside, and she has her back to Leroy. And then Leroy is digging in on his plate on the picnic table, and he goes, "Is this the steak or the charcoal?" It's a pretty good one. And then in the next frame, Loretta's looking at a book, and Leroy's sitting at a table again. She's standing by the table, and he looks like what he's eating is disgusting. And she's looking in a cookbook, and she goes, "That's what went wrong. I accidentally skipped a page." That's you know, that's interesting because she's kind of admitting it. I would see that one, the Lockhorn style, would normally be like, take a look again. I bet you actually accidentally skipped a page. Like, he would say that to her, right?
Yeah, or he opens the book and two pages are stuck together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's another one. God, three in a row where she's standing and it's at a table where he's sitting and eating. And then she goes to him, the trouble with you is that you judge food too much by its taste. Again, she's kind of hitting herself. Yeah, these are interesting ones.
All right. I have a cartoon for next week. It is, it's a dock. It's one of those fishing docks.
Yes.
And the guy is standing there getting his photo taken with a giant whale. And the whale kind of is hung so that its mouth is open. You can see how big it is. And in the background, there's two other sharks, and they're talking to each other, and they're watching what's happening on the dock. And what are they saying to each other?
So I see what they're saying. Now, each week, I'm wondering...
Well, I'm going to take that out in post.
I understand. I'm wondering if we should tell people what was in the original.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good.
But some people have sent them in to us, and it's already been, like, you know, edited out.
Yeah. By the way, if you want to send original artwork for this segment, we love it. A few of them have been original art. Sometimes I go out and I find them from other places. But this is a good one. So send those in to FitzDogRadio@gmail.com. Please put your name directly under your submission. And we'll read it next week. The winner gets a koozie.
Well, listen, I'm getting sad because... we are at number 3 in the countdown of the 10 best Garfields ever. This one has like 7 frames. So on the first one, Garfield's there, and he's just, you know, he's looking pretty glum. I think that's his look with his eyes half closed. And he hears slam off screen. Then John walks in. Apparently that was the door. And he goes, "Want to hear about my date with Liz?" And Garfield thinks, "Do I have a choice?" Which John hears, I think. And then John says, "We were in the car staring into each other's eyes." Next frame. "I reached out to turn on the car radio, but pushed the lighter instead." Next frame. "Then it popped out into my lap. I screamed and jumped. My head went through the car roof. The airbags went off and the horn stuck." Next frame. He's looking just as glum and eyes half closed as Garfield, and he goes, "Sigh," which means he said sigh, because that's how it's written.
Yeah.
Okay, so then John says in the final frame, "I've never been thrown out of a drive-in movie before." And Garfield, unmoved by all of this, thinks/says, "You have a rare and special gift, John Arbuckle." Huh. Third best of all time.
Yeah. Well.
The old "I was in a public place" tag.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's all about the characters, Mike. It's not just the jokes. It's who Garfield is. He's really a sardonic cat.
I mean, it would have been better if it was like I pulled off my pants. She took off hers. We were going to town. She then like stuck out of the sunroof and was screaming. And that's the first time I got kicked out of a drive-in movie.
Yeah.
How many drive-in movies is he going to that it's remarkable it's the first time he's been thrown out of one?
And who has a car lighter anymore? What year was this written in?
Yeah.
And so
also, this wouldn't have been that distracting. It wouldn't have gone on. I don't think it would have escalated beyond that.
All right. Here's one that's... I always feel a little creepy when I'm talking about
stupid.
Lonnie's daughter. But I got to say, she is just
the other drawn image? That's it?
She is a smoke show, like her mom. I mean, she's not as hot as Blondie, but she's a... because she's got some fucking Dagwood in her. And so they hot it down a notch.
Yeah,
she's standing out front. She's got on black velvet pants, high-heeled shoes, and a blue velour sweater, large breasts. And the guy she's with has on jeans and a varsity jacket. And she goes, did you know it's National Sweetest Day? And he goes, I didn't know that. And he goes, well, happy Sweetest Day, I guess. And he reaches in and it says peck. They peck on the lips. And then she goes, I hope you do a lot better than that on Valentine's Day. What the fuck? Can we cut to Valentine's Day? And then can we cut to her birthday? What are we talking about here? A hand job?
God, it's in her DNA. She just is hooking up with a cuck.
Yep.
A complete useless cuck who has no passion in him.
It's like
she and her mom should just get it on. I bet you'd subscribe to that even if it was behind a paywall.
That would definitely be on xhamster.com. But, you know, it's like a Ferrari sitting in the driveway and a child gets in with no keys and fumbles around with the gear shift and hits the horn a couple times.
It's like your first day with the Mustang.
Wait a minute.
You're a Prius guy. Like, what? What is this? What?
EcoBoost. What's that going to do? Whoa! All right, listen, folks. We appreciate you putting up with our technological snafus.
We did it, though. Look at this.
We hope that you will support the show. The best way to do that is to go to the Prize Picks and go to the app and put in papers. You'll get $50 instantly after you play $5. That's pretty easy. Also, you know how we love to stay neutral. If you want to get every part of the news, every aspect of it, you're going to go to Ground News and groundnews.com/SP. Get 40% off the Ground News Vantage Plan. Mike, speaking you want
of,
to promote?
Yeah, speaking of right-leaning stories from Ground News, we've also been blessed by Chris Denman's image, which is if you go to YouTube, you'll see his little image up there like Greg's, and just a still photo. And that's Chris at a Kamala rally, and he just, you could tell by his hands, he just made that gun with his hands.
Oh my
with
God.
His hands, he just made that gun signal, and he kind of pointed at her and clicked his thumb, like, and you could see how disgusted he is in the photo.
Oh, my God, he hates Kamala.
Oh, boy.
All right, so we'll catch you guys next time. Thanks for hanging out.
Okay, take it easy, people. Go Yankees, go Mets. I want to see a Subway Series.
Oh, we forgot to update our bet.
No, it's the same. We're still both alive.
You're at 3-1, and I'm at 2-3. You're ahead 3-1. I'm down 2-3.
No, but isn't it who goes further in the postseason?
Yes.
So if it's then it's the winner of the series. That's what it's looking like.
Right. So you're 1 game ahead of me.
Sounds good. I guess you can keep score that way.
All right. God bless.
All right. Take it easy.
Getting any news without partisan views is impossible these days. Yeah, but the Sunday Papers podcast gets delivered without bias, no matter what they say. Because if it's funny, then it's got to be true.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.